Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints, and welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Tonight, we are continuing in our verse-by-verse study of Deuteronomy. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and tonight we're going to be looking at 29 verses in Deuteronomy 29, and the message from this teaching today is the renewed covenant revealed. At the end of our teaching today, you're going to be given an opportunity to give, to ask questions, and to receive. And so we encourage you, take good notes. There's going to be a lot of information shared here tonight. And if you have questions or you desire or seek understanding, you certainly want to write those down. So when the question and answer period come, you will be ready. Our mission statement here at House of Israel is restoring the Hebrew roots
to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here again in your presence. And we just welcome your presence in this place today. We ask that you will move among us here and that you will move among us, among those who are joining in with us via the internet, over the internet, on TV, however they join in with us, whether it be YouTube or Facebook or whatever means in which your people join with us, we pray your presence manifest in the midst of them as you manifest in our midst. We pray for your healing, for your deliverance, for your power to manifest. You know the needs of your people. You know the issues that they're dealing with, the challenges that they're facing. You know decisions that has to be made. And we pray that you will give guidance and wisdom, even as you give instruction. And then, Father, where we need correction, correct us. We pray your forgiveness of sins, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, create in us clean hearts, and renew the right spirit in us. Let nothing stand between us and you, and we decree no weapons formed against us shall prosper, but for your perfect will to be accomplished in us and in this place today. We ask that you give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us the capacity to comprehend the things that you reveal to us, the things that you speak to us, and then show us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. Be glorified again in us and in your people, wherever they may be, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So again, today we're looking at the renewed covenant revealed, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 29. We're going to be going through verse 1 through 29. The covenant agreement made between Jehovah and his people, the children of Israel, and those who joined themselves to the commonwealth was clearly communicated by Jehovah and written down by Moses so that all of Israel would know and understand what Jehovah expected of them. In this portion of Deuteronomy, the covenant is reemphasized or renewed with the generation that survived the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness as they prepared to enter into the land of promise. And what we're going to see here is there are several profound revelations that are revealed in this portion of Jehovah's law here in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 1, it states, "These are the words of the covenant." And of course, as you know, as we went through the introduction of Deuteronomy, the way Deuteronomy got its name was from the first few letters of the opening verse in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And it opened with "these are the words," or "these be the words." And that is Dabar, which the word Dabarim, which we get Deuteronomy. But understand, Moses did not name this portion of his writing as Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy came later. This is the book that was called the Book of Moses. But as we know, Jehovah spoke, Moses wrote. Many people falsely give this book or call it the Law of Moses, but it's not the Law of Moses. It's the Law of Jehovah. Moses didn't make laws. Moses was the one who was taking what Father spoke to him and writing it down and then communicating it to the children of Israel. Now understand that the importance of writing it down was because Father wanted him to communicate accurately what he had said to him to the children of Israel. Moses was not to add to. He was not to diminish from it. He had to speak it exactly as he had heard it. And so these are the words of the covenant which Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. Now notice the very first verse. It says that these are the words of the covenant which Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And so Horeb is Mount Sinai, and Jehovah makes a covenant now with the new generation of the children of Israel in Moab. The covenant at Sinai was made with the generation of Israelites that most of them died in the wilderness because of their rebellion. If you remember, the Almighty had instructed Moses to send spies into the land. They came back. 10 came with a good report or bad report. 2 came with a bad report. And as a result, the people became fearful and declared that they could not go into the land and possess it as Jehovah had instructed. And so in Numbers 14:26, Jehovah responded. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Jehovah, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, and get this, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you have said, or which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. And so what we see happen here is that this 40 years in the wilderness was Jehovah's response to the children of Israel's rebellion to go in and take the land. And so here in Deuteronomy 29, he's reminding the children of Israel that survived that 40 year in the wilderness. Remember now, those who were 19 years and younger are the ones that he's speaking, plus those who were born over the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness after the spies had come back with a bad report. So Jehovah wanted his people not only to remember all the things that he had done, but he also wanted them to remember the consequences of disobedience. He wanted them to remember. Now, the covenant here, Berith, is an alliance. It's a pledge. This pledge can be between men, but in this case, it's between man and Jehovah. It's like an alliance of marriage because technically Jehovah married the children of Israel. This is why it is recorded that he gave them a certificate of divorce at some point in the future from this event. And it's an alliance between the children of Israel and Jehovah. So this covenant, the way it's used, is 264 times it's used as a covenant. a new generation of Israelites. So now here we are 40 years after, 40 years later, all of those who had died, here's a new generation of Israelites, some of which came out of Egypt and wandered the entire 40 years, all of which had wandered in the wilderness for some period of time. So those who were 19 years and older, they were still alive. Those who had born while the children of Israel sojourned those 40 years, they're the ones who are now here in Moab, and Jehovah is making a covenant with them, a new covenant or a renewed covenant, which is a repeat of the old covenant that had been made at Sinai with the first group of Israelites. And so Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them. Now notice, he's talking to all of Israel, everybody that was with them at this time. And he said, you have seen, not only have you seen, but you have seen all that Jehovah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. Now, the servants, we know he destroyed them. Many died in the Red Sea. We know that over the course of the time Moses went in and out amongst Pharaoh, there were many plagues that were sent. The land was severely damaged. The animals were killed. There was blood in the water, frogs. I mean, the whole nine yards. So those who were alive at that time had seen what Jehovah did in Egypt, but not all of them, because remember, some were born in the wilderness. They never lived in Egypt, but they heard. But they did, however, see Jehovah's mighty hand in the wilderness in some capacity during this 40 years of wandering. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. And so what Jehovah is saying through Moses is that I want you to remind the people of Israel, remind them of what they had seen with their own eyes, the signs that they experienced, those who were in Egypt and then those who were in the wilderness during the time that the Most High was taking them through this wilderness experience, because even then he was watching over them. A precursor to the new covenant that would be made with the future generation of Israel is found right here in Deuteronomy chapter 29. In 29 verse 4 it says, yet, now you've seen everything that had been done, and remember in verse 1, this is a covenant that he's making with the children of Israel at Moab, aside from the covenant that he made with the children of Israel at Sinai. And so it's a new generation, a different people that he's communicating through Moses with now, and those who he had communicated with at Sinai. The people of that generation and generations to follow did not have a heart to perceive or eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, you can see here in verse 4, he says, yet Jehovah hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Now, some would look at this and say, okay, well, Jehovah blinded them. Jehovah didn't give them eyes to see. They saw, but they didn't see. And that would be a misinterpretation, because the people had eyes and they saw. Jehovah said in verse number 3, he says, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. He said in verse 4, in verse 2, and Moses called unto all of Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that Jehovah did before your eyes. So they saw it. And yet here it says that he has not given them eyes to see or a heart to perceive and ears to hear. And so how would one take that? Well, when you look at what Yeshua said, and Yeshua's quoting from the prophets, and we'll see what is spoken. Yeshua said, for this, in Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. This people's heart is waxed gross. Now, you have to think about it from this perspective. Israel saw what Jehovah did to Pharaoh, those who came out of Egypt. They saw what he did. So it's not like they didn't see, but they saw. And you would wonder or think that with everything they saw, how could they continue to be a rebellious people? There's a thing that people can get into, and it's called entitlement. There are people who believe that Jehovah, as you know, being the chosen people, that no matter what they do, they're chosen. No matter how rebellious they are, then, you know, they got promises that they can hold on to and call on the name of the Almighty, even though he has said that if they walk in disobedience, the promises that they are supposed to experience will be replaced with the curses, which was promises as well. So in the promises were blessings for obedience, but also promises of curses for disobedience. But people have a tendency to not see themselves as disobedient as they should. But Yeshua said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes, or their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So people are seeing, but they're not seeing it. I mean, they see it, but it's as if, okay, you owe us that. We were in Egypt, you came and got us. It sounds almost like that child who said, I didn't ask to come here. Well, what they had forgotten is that they cried out to Jehovah. They cried out of the harsh bondage, or at least their fathers did, which many of them their carcasses were strewn all over the wilderness. Paul quoted in Romans. He says in Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now some say, well, Jehovah blinded the children of Israel. Well, he didn't. But that's what they say because they're looking at this passage without searching it out. And it says, according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, which is in parentheses, which means it's added. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear until this day. And so to accurately read that, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded unto this day. And then Paul went on and he said something. He said, and David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. Now, this issue here, and we've mentioned this before when we were going through Romans, but this table, because the table that David is speaking, and remember, when you see a verse in the New Testament that is being quoted from the Old Testament, then you want to go to the Old Testament to look up the meaning of that word in Hebrew, lest you look it up in the Greek, because it's in the Greek New Testament. But David wasn't in the Greek New Testament when he quoted that. David was in the Old Testament in the Psalms in the Hebrew portion of the scripture. And the Hebrew word for this is shulchan. Shulchan. Now, what's interesting about this word shulchan, it simply means table, of king's table, private use, sacred uses. Now, what's interesting also is this shulchan, and we brought this up in Romans, that they're the most, the shulchan aruch, which literally means set table, is often dubbed in English as the code of Jewish law. Now, many people have heard of halakha. This is the code of Jewish law. This states what a Jew do from the time they get up in the morning until the time they go to bed at night. The code of Jewish law is the most widely consulted of the various legal codes in Judaism. It was authorized in Safed, Ottoman Syria, today in Israel, by Joseph Caro in 1563 and published in Venice 2 years later. Together with his commentaries, it is the most widely accepted compilation of halakha or Jewish law ever written. And so I'm bringing this all up because you have a people now, you have a generation of Jews who are in Judaism who live halakha according to the oral Torah and the according to the oral Torah, the halakha, the Mishnah, and they've separated themselves from the book, but now are focused on religious, the religion of the Jews, the religion of the Jews, like many Christians are focused on the religion of their denomination. And these are the kinds of things that blind people, so they can't see right in front of them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Jehovah, who established the Sabbath day, did away with the Sabbath day, but a person in their religion, especially in their Christian religion, will come to the conclusion that the Sabbath is not for the people of Christ and that Sunday is the day of worship. And then they say stupid stuff like, you know, we could worship any day in the week. And so, but why are you worshiping on Sunday? That's the question. Why is all the denominations focused on Sunday and none of them are worshiping on the Sabbath day except the ones that the Christian religion calls a cult? Religion can blind people so they can't see what's clearly in front of them. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. And you can tell them all day long, but my pastor says, well, I don't believe that. Well, my religion, my faith says, and we're not under the law. We're under grace. We don't have to do any of that stuff. That's what they say. Oftentimes, people cannot see the anger of God against them or his disciplinary actions toward them. Why? Because of their religion. They're in church, they're going through the motion, they're doing the religious thing, and because they're doing that in the name of Jesus, God cannot be mad at them. Even though they're violating his commandment, which is sin, transgressing the law. They cannot see because they're blind. And as Yeshua says, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall in a ditch. They cannot see because they blame someone else. A person think that because of their issue is the result of somebody else and they have nothing to do with what they're going through. They want to blame somebody else. People can't see because they're stubborn and rebellious. They can't see because they're defiant. Some are hard-hearted and hard-headed. They became, you know, as I said before, my parents used to say, you know, a hard head brings a soft bottom. That means if you're hard-headed, you're going to get this rod on your backside. And that was a saying. And then there are those who can't see because they became used to Jehovah's provision. And I was thinking about this. You find a man who falls in love with a woman to the degree that he wants to marry her, and then marry her, and over a period of time, he becomes so accustomed to her that the love that he once had for her has gone cold. It's not that he don't love her. It's just that the passion he had then is not the passion he has now because she has become common. You know, when you've never seen a woman undress and you pursue her and then you marry her and you have the privilege of seeing her undressed, after a while, seeing her undressed becomes common. It wasn't in the beginning, you see. And so people sometimes become accustomed to something. I remember that when we were in Michigan And the sign guy used to say, you know, every week you need to change your sign. He says, why? Because it becomes common to the people who pass by. They done seen that sign so many times and the words are there and it's just like they see it, but they don't see it. But when you change it, and I think this is one of the reasons why you go into a store, you go into Sam's, you go into Costco, you go into your favorite store, and every now and then, what do? They move the stuff over on this wall, over on the other wall. You go out of habit to where you always go, and it ain't there. Now you get upset because they done moved it. Well, they're doing it so that you don't get, you know, it don't become common. You don't become complacent. And they want you to see other stuff. People become used to something. And then, as they say, you know, here, they became used to Jehovah's provision. Jehovah provided, he fought for them, he led them, and they just became used to it. And so, okay, well, he gonna do it no matter what. He loved me no matter what. It's like, okay, but remember, his instructions, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Verse 5, he says, and I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon your foot. You've not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know. There's a reason why Jehovah condemned them to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He wanted to show them the consequences of disobedience. Jehovah provided for Israel everything they needed while they were in the wilderness. Their clothes lasted. Their shoes did not wear out. They had unleavened bread from heaven, food, water. He fed them. He clothed them. He watched over them. Cloud by day to keep the sun, beams from burning them. Fire by night to keep them warm in the desert. Jehovah did not provide, he didn't provide leavened bread for them. You know, you see what it says? You have not eaten bread, and that is leavened bread. Neither have you drunk wine or strong drink. So they were sober for 40 years in the wilderness. No wine. They celebrated Passover, no wine. Why? Because wine is not required for Passover. But you can't have a Passover today without grape juice and wine because, well, I won't go down that road. But wine is not required for Passover. He didn't provide leavened bread, no wine, and no strong drink. Verse 7, and when you came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh. So Jehovah gave them land before they crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And remember, we read that when they came across the Jordan into the land, they had to put plaster on these stones and write all the law. Jehovah encourages the new generation of Israelites and the strangers that joined themselves with them to keep the covenant and prosper. And here is where I want you to see something. The conditions of the covenant. The condition of the covenant was to prosper them. Prosperity in all they do was incorporated in obedience to the covenant. He says in verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Now, oftentimes when people hear prosperity, they think of wealth and they think of stuff. However, prosperity is much broader than that. The definition is to be prudent, to be circumspect, wise, understand, wisely understand, to prosper. And the way it's used is understand, 12 times wise, 12 times prosper, wisely understanding. Now, remember, keeping the law is wisdom and will make you wise and understanding. My U is missing there. Wise and understanding. This is what he said in verse 6. Jehovah said, keep therefore and do them. Moses wrote what Jehovah spoke and communicated it to the people. Keep therefore and do them. This ordinance, statutes, the law. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as Jehovah our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So you see, the law is righteous. It's for righteous people. And so when you seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, what is he going to do? He's going to write his law upon our hearts. See? But we can tell people this all day long, but if they are stuck in their religion, they won't hear it. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Remember, the Holy Scriptures was the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament when Paul told Timothy this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Messiah Yeshua. So salvation that was provided for through Messiah is found in the Old Testament. That's what they preached the first generation of believers in the first century. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All those Jehovah made covenant with is now being identified. Pay attention. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 29. You stand this day, all of you, before Jehovah your God. So all of you are standing here this day, just like they were at Sinai, he's talking to them in Moab. All of you who are standing here this day, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in the camp, from the hewer of the wood unto the drawer of the water. Who is he making covenant with? Your captains, your tribes, captains of your tribes, elders, officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the stranger. All the tribes, their leaders, captains, elders, officers, all men, children, wives, and strangers. And remember, just as was to those who heard the law at Sinai, there was one law for everyone. Exodus 12:49. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So the stranger was in covenant. Leviticus 24:22. You shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country, for I am Jehovah your God. One law and one manner, Numbers 15:16. Shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. When Jehovah shouted his commandments down from the mountain, the ten, he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. On it you shall do no work. Who? Your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your women servants, your animals. And so the stranger was to keep the Sabbath. The stranger was to keep the feast. The stranger here is Ger, a sojourner, temporary inhabitant, a newcomer, lacking inherited rights of foreigners in Israel, though conceded rights. And it means stranger, alien, sojourner. And remember, if a stranger decided that they wanted to share in the Passover, what did they have to do? circumcision. That's the covenant of Abraham. Once a person becomes circumcised, they become a full-fledged member of the household of God. Verse 12. That thou shouldest enter into covenant. Who? All of y'all here this day. And who was there? All of those people who were there, captains, tribal leaders, elders, officers, all men, all women, all wives, and all strangers. Every person that was with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, the great multitude which no man could number, and those who were continuing with Israel that were now present in Moab, Jehovah is making covenant with all of them. And so he says that thou shouldest enter into covenant with Jehovah your God and unto his oath, which Jehovah your God maketh with thee this day. So the covenant was made with the gathered people of that generation, including the strange people or the strangers and the generations to come, including the strangers that would join themselves. Therefore, there will be no difference in Messiah. Remember, Messiah was with them in the wilderness. How? The word of God. And that word that was with them in the wilderness became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, remember the church in the wilderness? The first church was the gathering of these individuals that were at Sinai, and then these individuals that are now in Moab. And so Jehovah is renewing his covenant with that generation, because the previous generation, most of them had died, and now he's renewing this covenant before they go into the land of Israel. One law for all of the commonwealth, one new man, inclusive of the Gentiles, the nations. And this was not some new concept to Paul. Paul just got a revelation. Paul got the revelation because it had been hidden from all people from the beginning. And we're going to see the last verse in this chapter is that the hidden things are of God. So Jehovah hid his wisdom, he hid his plan, and then he revealed it to those who had eyes to see and ears to hear. And one of those individuals was Paul. So when Paul started talking about this one new man concept, this one new man concept was all the way back at Sinai. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Remember, folks, please remember this. Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham was not a Jew. Isaac was not an Israelite. Isaac was not a Jew. Jacob was not an Israelite. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He was not an Israelite. His descendants were the children of Israel, and they were called Israelites. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. And so here in verse 14, he reemphasizes that I'm not just making this covenant and oath with you only. Now, this passage could be interpreted to mean those who were passed on or those who would be born in the future. I believe it's referring to the future. Why? Because the covenant of those, the covenant at Sinai, all those who had passed on was under that covenant. So they wouldn't be able to enter into this covenant. It's those who were standing there that day and then speaking to the future. But with him that standeth here with us this day, and who was that? The captains of the tribes, the elders, the leaders, all men, all women, all children, and the stranger. But with him that standeth here with us this day before Jehovah our Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day, which I believe is speaking to the future. And then you see these parentheses. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. And so we see the parentheses, and we see that there are things that they saw in Egypt, and the manifestation of what they saw in Egypt showed itself when Moses went into the wilderness and they took the gold that they had brought out of Egypt and they fashioned gods. They made more than just a golden calf. They made other images with that gold, and these are the things they had seen in Egypt. However, when they came out of Egypt, they also went through nations, and as they passed through those nations, they saw idols and images of stone, of brass, of gold, of silver, of wood. So they saw these images. As the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they passed through those nations. The word abomination here, detestable thing or idol, is how it's used as an abomination, but also indicating in the meaning that there are other abominations, including idols, which are an abomination. Idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold. Apparently, some of the abominable things some saw were attractive to them, for Jehovah to instruct Moses to make the following statement. I mean, sometimes you can see things, because I can imagine, and I've been places, and, you know, there are some wonders out there to where people bow down and worship these things. And they are very alluring. You could see them. I know that in I think it's Rio, where you see the Jesus on the top of the mountain, the big image, you know, for everybody to see. The most recognizable building in Israel is the Dome of the Rock, which is a Muslim mosque. And that is the most recognized image in the entire land. If you go into certain Asian countries, you'll see big Buddhas. You go into certain Indian or Hindu countries, you'll see their goddesses and their gods and the elephant. And I mean, these are statues that are so elaborate looking and bedeviled in jewels and in precious stones. And as you're walking through, even for believers now, it's hard sometimes for a person to walk through and to see these things without looking at them and marveling at their construction. It's an idol. And so as Israel is passing through, they're seeing all of these things. They're seeing them, you see. And he says, guard your heart. He says, listen, when you go through these places and you see these things, you know, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from Jehovah our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. That's a root of bitterness. This is what the Hebrew writer is writing about. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So if you see these things, and it's like, I know God said, you know. And this is what people will do. They'll reason with them in themselves. I know God said, but God know my heart. He know. It's like, you know, have mercy on me, God. Forgive me, God. But you know, he know my heart and all this nonsense. And what people are doing is that they're justifying their behavior because they are a sinner saved by grace, and they're weak, and God understands, and then they're saved, and they're once saved, and they're always saved, even though they're weak, and they're falling for something that God says, don't fall for, and then he's going to say, listen, just as I watch over my word to bring the blessings to you, I'll watch over my word to bring the curses to you as well. So all those excuses you're making to justify behavior, it ain't gonna fly. Verse 19, it come to pass when he heard the words of this curse that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. This is what people do every Sunday, and I would dare say they didn't got accustomed to ignoring the Sabbath. But on Sunday, they're there to worship God. They're worshiping him. They're blessing him. They're praising him. They're showing up. And they're saying, surely God is pleased with me because I go to church on Sunday. Surely God is pleased with me because I pay my tithe. Surely God is pleased with me because I sing in the choir. I'm an usher. I serve in the ministry on Sunday. And we can worship any day we want. We don't have to keep the Sabbath. And every day is a Sabbath. And they start making all of these confessions. And blessing themselves. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the field, blessed in the city. I'm blessed with whatever I put my hand to. And they ignore the fact that these blessings are associated with obedience to the commandments. How can you claim the blessings of the commandments while rejecting the commandments that the blessings are connected to? And they say to themselves, I'll have peace in my heart. And you'll hear people say, well, I'm at peace with it. Well, I'm at peace with it. Well, I feel peace about it. Really? I got peace in my spirit. Some will bless themselves in the midst of their abominations. People will have a false sense of peace in the midst of their rebellion, similar to how many in the church believe they're above the curses because they're not under or accountable to the law, although their lives are a reflection of the curses. Furthermore, Jehovah will not spare them. Their names will be blotted out, meaning they were once written in, and the curses will be their share, not the blessings. We can communicate it, and I'll communicate it until I'm dead, because Jehovah wants his people to be blessed, and anyone who loves Jehovah wants Jehovah's people to be blessed. So, you'll speak what Jehovah gives you, and you'll say what Jehovah said. And anybody saying anything other than what Jehovah has said, let them be anathema. Jehovah will not spare him. But then the anger of Jehovah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. Now, he says the anger of Jehovah, his jealousy, which is part of that anger, and smoke, which is anger on top of anger on top of anger. And then he says, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And you shall blot out his name from under heaven. You see, the preacher will tell you that you're under curse if you don't tithe. Jehovah says you're under curse if you're disobedient to his commandments. So you can tithe all you want. You can tithe and tithe and tithe. You can give double tithes and triple tithes. You can sell your properties and give it to the church. You can do whatever you want with all the money. You can leave it in your will. But that doesn't mean anything if you're not obedient to the commands of Jehovah. Jehovah said, I will spare him not. But then the anger of Jehovah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And then he will blot him out. He will blot out his name from under heaven. See, you can't blot out what was never there. The only cure for the curses is what? Repentance and obedience. The only cure, repentance and obedience. Verse 21. And Jehovah shall separate him unto evil. Who's going to do this? See, I have to remind people, and I tell them, if Jehovah's love is so unconditional, what's the purpose of the judgment? What's the purpose? Why do you have to stand before Jehovah and be judged? How do you judge yourself so you won't be judged? There's only one way you can judge yourself so you won't be judged, and that's with the same thing the judges use to judge the people. The judges, which is responsible, first there were Moses, and then there were the people, the elders in the gates, and then the judges, and then the kings. And now every man is to judge himself. By what measure? By what measure should you judge you? The same measure that the judges used to judge the people. And what did the judges have? The same thing the king was supposed to have. He was supposed to write it out, the law of God. Why? Because the law contained judgments. The law contained ordinances. The law contained statutes. You don't find that in the New Testament. You find it in Jehovah's commandments. He says, all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. And now we see a prophetic word. A prophetic word about the future generation. Verse 22. So that the generations to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which Jehovah has laid upon it, the plagues of that land and the sickness which Jehovah hath laid upon it. The whole purpose of seeing what Jehovah has done in the past is to be a reminder of what he said he would do. You see, the generation that he's speaking to at the beginning chapter 29 in the land of Moab, he's speaking to a generation who have witnessed all of those 20 years and older that were at Sinai. They had had their funerals, they had buried them, or they left them for dead in the wilderness. Why? Because Jehovah said they weren't going to enter into the promised land. And then he didn't kill them. He just let them live their lives wandering in the wilderness until they fell dead. That's what rebellion will do. You see, your rebellion don't necessarily bring instant death. People suffer. People go through some things. And some of the things they go through is because of what others have done, even though in the midst of the others paying the price for their sin, Jehovah continues to spare, to bless, to protect, and to fight on behalf of those who had not sinned in accordance to his commands. And so, that generation, they will say, they will look, they will see, and these things will be a reminder of what happens to disobedience. Remember, he said, I made you wander in this wilderness for 40 years to teach you. I want you to see some things, and I want to teach you some things. Because if you don't get it, what's going to happen? You're going to end up wandering some more. Remember when the children of Reuben and the others on the other side of the Jordan who said, hey, we'll stay here. And Moses said to them, you guys are going to bring the same wandering curse on this generation as your fathers did when they gave us 40 years in the wilderness. Don't do that. And so they said, okay, we'll go fight, but this will be our land. And once everybody has settled in their land, then we'll come and we'll stay within our land. Verse 23. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which Jehovah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath Jehovah done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? So what is he saying? The people are going to see the condition of the land because of your rebellion. He's telling them this before they go in and possess the land. They're not even in the land, and he's telling them this is what the nations are going to see. You see that? Now, what's interesting is that, think about this. Israel was out of the land for 70 years in Babylon. What do you think happened to the land? Jehovah said, listen, I'm not going to drive out your enemies all at once, because if that happens, what's going to happen? The wild animals are going to grow. You're not going to be able to possess the land and take care of the land the way it needs to be if I drive all of your enemies out at once. You got to go in, take it little by little, drive them out, possess the land, drive them out, possess the land, drive them out, possess the land, take care of the houses, take care of the wells, take care of the vineyards, take care of the orchards. And then once you have all the land, now you got it, you continue to live and harvest it. If I did that all at once, who's going to take care of stuff? But when he took them out of the land for that 70 years, when he took Israel out of the land, and then when he took Judah and the southern tribes out of the land, what do you think happened to the land? It became desolate. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath Jehovah done thus? Who's going to say it? The nations are going to say it. Now, the nations that's supposed to call you blessed and wise and understanding are going to be calling you something else. A proverb. The nation shall see the work of Jehovah against the promised land and question the great anger of Jehovah they have witnessed with their own eyes. They will question why Jehovah did what he did against the people and the land, and then answer their own questions. And anybody who go to Israel today and they go to a wall to pray, a place where the temple used to be, and people's hearts are grieved, even Israelites and people who go there to visit. And they're so excited to be at a wailing wall. But understand, the wailing wall is a reminder of what once was and is no more. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant. Now, what is the nations going to say? The reason why that's happening to Israel, the reason why that's happening to the Jewish people, the reason why there's persecution everywhere they go, is because they have forsaken the covenant. You can call me anti-Semitic all you want. I'm just preaching to you what's there. You see. Because people want to paint these pictures of a people being persecuted without addressing why a people is being persecuted. They're being persecuted and driven out and hated and despised and spoken of as a proverb because they have forsaken the covenant of Jehovah God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day. For they went and served what? Other gods, and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. Instead of serving him the way he wanted to be served, they went and served other gods. And people who are doing that today can expect the same thing. And God's here, Elohim, could mean gods and goddesses. Remember when Paul went to Ephesus, the god of the Ephesians was a woman, Diana. And then there's Ishtar, Astarte. These many-breasted ones. So there were gods and there were goddesses. And there were structures and idols and temples and statues. And people would bow down to that, just like folks in the church bow down to the cross and kiss the Pope's ring. A lot of nonsense, because you don't see that nonsense in the book, but you see it in churches. And what you see in churches, a lot of it you don't see anywhere in the book. The anger of Jehovah was kindled against the land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And Jehovah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The hidden things belong to Jehovah. The secret things belong unto Jehovah, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. See, this is where words of wisdom, words of knowledge, revelation, prophecy. It is Jehovah revealing things to his people who have understanding eyes and eyes to see and ears to hear and understanding hearts and wisdom and righteousness, things that he has hidden from other people. There are things that I'm sharing with you today that are hidden from many of the people out there because their preachers have told them things contrary to what I'm saying. And I can say it over and over and over, but because they give their credence to their pastors, their denominations, their churches, they won't hear it. And they'll call me a heretic, just like they called Yeshua, and just like they called the disciples, the apostles, Paul, heretics, preaching heresy. But what we're preaching is right here in the book. And people who are saying we're heretics are preaching stuff you can't find in the book. So who's right? The secret things. Remember, Jehovah hid things from the people, because had they had known, they wouldn't have crucified Yeshua. He hid things from the religious leaders. He hid things from the political leaders. He hid things from those who followed religion. But those who had ears to hear and eyes to see were those who had been converted, those who confessed, those who believed in their heart. The things that Jehovah said was true. They operated by faith. And this is what you see here. Keeping the law is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Israel didn't mix what they heard with faith. They were given the law, but for some reason or another, they didn't walk in the commandments by faith. Jehovah hide things from people. Jehovah revealed to people what he wants them to know. Jehovah would reveal things to future generations that were contained in his law, that we may see and do all the words of this law. What did he say in the last verse? The secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. And then finally, these promises, because these promises continue and they'll continue until Messiah return. The promises as it was revealed to Peter for the generations to come. Remember, Jehovah is a generational Elohim. He's not a one-generational God. He's a generational God. He's looking to the thousandth generation of them who love him and keep his commandments. That's going to be going on for generations and generations and generations to come, long after we're gone, if Messiah tarry. Verse 39, Acts chapter 2. Paul, Peter said, "For the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And so Peter is speaking to the generations to come, as Jehovah spoke to the generations in the day of Moses that were to come, even as he has spoken to the children of Israel that was at Sinai, many of whom who died and did not survive the wilderness experience. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this study of Deuteronomy. We pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us. Help us to understand your word as you reveal it in your word. And then help us, Father, to discern, to distinguish between what is written and what is being taught in the churches on Facebook and YouTube and all the other various media platforms that people are going to get their religious feeds. We pray your blessings upon your truth. We know your word is truth. And with your truth come deliverance, salvation, healing. Make us whole. Cause us to walk in the power and the authority of your truth, to not be afraid, but to be wise. As Yeshua says, to be wise as serpents and yet gentle as doves, but to be bold as lions. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Before we get into Q&A, just want to give you an opportunity, as we said, to give. Your support is greatly appreciated and needed, and we encourage you, those of you who desire to support us, if you go to our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, you'll find on our website that there's a donate link at the top of that page. If you click that donate link, it'll bring you to this page where you'll see ways that you can give to support our ministry. And the first five, 1 through 5, are fee-free. That means 100% of your contribution, your donation, your tithe reach us. If you use PayPal, if we have to process your card, then we have to pay those transaction fees. We have to pay the processing fees. And so when you use Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay, or you send checks or money orders in the mail, then we receive 100% of your contribution. Other ways that you can give is PayPal donation link there. And you can wire funds. You can call our office during business hours. You can text to give. If you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link, and there you'll be able to write your contributions off on your Canadian revenue tax return. But whatever means that you use to support our ministry, we are greatly appreciated, and as I stated, we certainly need and can use your contribution. We got a lot of work to do, and we need to get the message out continuously. And so you help us to do that with every contribution you make. And so thank you for your support. All right. Now, Father, we just thank you for those who support this ministry. We ask your blessings upon them. Let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the blessings of heaven to manifest in the midst of them. Order our steps, Father, even into the blessings, divine connections, businesses, revelation, however you choose to manifest your blessing in our lives. We pray that you will do so and cause not only your people to be blessed, but to be a blessing, and show us to whom we are to be a blessing to. Be glorified in our giving. Be glorified in our living. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, a couple of other announcements before we get into the Q&A. We finally got our minister's training course book. It's now on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com. If you go to the website, arthurbaileyministries.com, and go to Marketplace and simply go to the book section on that page, you'll see that we have uploaded new books on that page, and you'll see some of them are bigger. They are new releases, and there you'll find the minister training course. And then other books that we have released as well. Not only the minister's training course, but we've released Casting Out Unclean Spirits is now on our website. How to Overcome the Devil has been there for a moment. Then there is the third year tithe. We're coming up on the third year tithe this biblical new year. Learn all about the third year tithe from this book. The 28 Blessings of Deuteronomy. You want to get this one because the 28 Blessings of Deuteronomy are clearly spelled out. We went through the 28 Blessings in two sessions last week and the week before last. But in this, it's a four-section teaching, and we elaborate on the 28 blessings found in Deuteronomy 28. And then there is the first, second, and third tithe that is now on our website as well. And we have Pulling Down Strongholds, which is the latest book that we've put on our website. So all of these books are now available on our website, and we encourage you to take advantage of them. Get it for your library, get it for your record, and learn as much as you can in preparation and equipping you for the work of ministry that you have been called to. One other thing is on our website, if you go to the read section on the website there, there's a drop down. There's free ebooks also. We've added some books on the free ebook section, and we encourage you to take advantage of them. You can download one, you can download five, you can download all of them, and they are all free. So download until your heart is content. All of these materials are available for you, for your learning, for free. So take advantage of it. Let other people know. Invite them to take advantage of it. We don't care. We want to get the information out. We want to get the message out. And you could become our ebook minister, announcer. Share on Facebook. Take the link. Share it. Send it to folks that you know. Folks you know that like to read. Folks who want to learn. And this will help them as well as help you. Amen. At this time, we're going to give you opportunity to ask questions. If there are any questions or comments. Okay, well, with that said, just a few more announcements. If you've been having issues with your Android app, now on our bookstore, actually on our website, if you go to the live stream portion of our website, click that live stream, you'll be on this page, which, you know, we're on right now. And what you'll see on this page is right underneath, you can download our app. Let me turn that off. There we go. So there's the download our app. You can download it if you have an Android. It's updated. If you've had issues in the past, it's been corrected. And you can download it if you got a Apple iPhone, whether you are Android or Apple, you can download the link or the app for your phone. And then we're going to have our marketplace is going to be available for the early feast. If you have a workshop, several workshops have been proposed. We're looking at them, and we're going to have workshops during the feast. And so we are encouraging you, if there's a workshop that you would like to conduct, then contact us through our Contact Us page, and we will send you the necessary information in order for you to apply to present a workshop during the feast season. Also, the Sabbath premiere. Well, one other, before we get there, if you desire a tax-deductible donation letter, then please use the Contact Us and request that, and we'll get it out to you. Now, one thing I want to say, that when you send us a letter, then we're going to send information that we have in our records, and what we're waiting on is for you to verify the accuracy of that information so we can conduct, provide your letter, and then you need to make sure you send it, give us the right email address or the right mailing address if you want it in the mail, but we generally send it via email, and we just need you to respond to that so that we know that our records and your records align themselves together. So when you send it out, look for a response from us. Check your trash, check your spam if you don't get it, because we'll send that out, and we're looking for confirmation, and we will prepare your letter once we receive confirmation from you. This Sabbath premiere tomorrow, Friday, for our Sabbath premiere is Purim. And then on Sabbath, we are going to start a new study, verse by verse, in Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews starting this Sabbath, and we're going to be looking at the introduction, and you are invited. You're welcome to join us, spread the word, and join with us Sabbath at 11 a.m. in-house or live, wherever you are online. So tomorrow is Purim, 8 p.m., and then Sabbath, 11 a.m. Saturday morning for our Sabbath service, Hebrews, an epistle, the introduction. All right, well, if there are no questions, no comments, then we're going to bring this portion of our teaching, our time together, to a close. Remember, check out our bookstore, the premieres, and our Sabbath service, and the other announcements, and we look forward to seeing you for the early feast soon. Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we look forward to seeing you again. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support is greatly needed and appreciated. And until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.